episode 27 of The Multipod, the podcast that explores the world of multipotentiality, to have diverse interests, skills, and creativity resulting of a person of success and just about anything. The Multipod is brought to you by members of the Kudu Tribe, the world's first dedicated community for serious multipotentiality. This podcast has been a platform for many varied topics of interest, including career paths, education, community architecture, nomadic life and money, as well as exploring deeper questions such as the nature of risk, goal setting, imposter syndrome, and finding role models. The Multipod is considered a democratic podcast with multiple contributors and shared ideas. My name is Sarah, and I'm one of the co-hosts of this show, and I'm so happy to announce that this episode is our one-year anniversary since the Multipod started. We are so thrilled for this moment to arrive and to celebrate it, that Sandrine, Vanessa, and I joined together to talk and reflect about this project. In this one-year anniversary episode, we explore how our team and the project has evolved over the course of this year, what we have achieved, what we would like to achieve, what we have learned and experienced in these 12 months, but mostly about what does it mean to start a project in the first place.
It's been a year since we first launched the Multipod, and here we are at the end of December 2018. And it was a year ago that we started this project. So it's great to be back together, and it's been interesting. Lots of things that we can chat about today, of course, and the experience of doing all this. But one of them has been how our team has evolved over that time. Because a year ago, it was me and Sandrine behind the microphone, and there was Mike, who's doing our show notes, and Sanjeev, right, who did the wonderful artwork that we have. We had Javier from south of France, who was part of our planning at first. And then Sarah joined in, not too long, like a few weeks at the most later. And, of course, we've picked up more people along the way. We've seen Vanessa. We've seen Jillian more recently. Clay was there in the middle of the year. A couple of repeated guests who may be involved also over the future. But that's one interesting thing, is just reflecting on how much this project has evolved in only 12 months. So that gives you some perspective. But so for now today, it's myself is Ted, Sarah's here, Sandrine is here, and we're going to reflect on what we've learned and experienced over the past year, but also with an idea of kind of revolving around this question of the whole idea of doing projects in the first place. At what point do you consider that, you know, you've achieved everything you wanted to achieve and it's time to move on to something else? Or at what point do you say, well, okay, we've maybe reached a certain point and it's time to take it to the next level or move on or keep going at least with something? And that's a big question. I'm sure we can all agree that multipotentialites explore often, because we do so many things and we like doing different things and we start different projects and we may have great intentions and we may achieve a lot of the things that we set out to do. And so at what point do you kind of pause and assess, you know, how far you've gotten to a point and where you go from there? So we're going to kind of be revolving around that question. And yes, it does come back to this show. A year gives us that benchmark in that, you know, it is obviously an anniversary and time to reflect. But we can't give you any answers today about the future of this show, but we are certainly talking about it and considering where are we going to go from here with the Multipod as the Putty Tribes podcast. So I'll turn it over to Sarah to say a few words, and then Sandrine, and then we'll get into an interesting discussion.
Well, hello, and I'm glad that today is our birthday. Well, kind of. And, well, first of all, like the year mark, and also it's interesting that it's at the same time that this 2018 is ending, because whenever the year ends, I like to stop for a moment and make a little reflection about how the year has gone and what can we do to progress and do better things on following years. And for me, this was a challenge, because I never done anything with a group of people that are very far apart. And also, I never did podcasting, and that was kind of a very great learning experience. And I think back, and I'm glad because it still takes a lot of me to put it out there and put on aside my shyness and try to be as honest and bold as possible for the listeners and for whatever topics we are investigating. Again, first of all, I also would like to say thank you to all the people that has been following us and have given us the chance to have something to say and to share. And definitely doing this with a group of people has been a great, great experience because I never did anything similar.
Wow, that's a nice reflection there. It's neat to hear you say that you like that we're our anniversary's at the end of the year. And I was reflecting on that too, thinking the fact that it's end of December and I have the same ritual where every year I look back and I go, okay, what did I do this year? What happened? What did I accomplish? And I try to focus on all the positive stuff and not, you know, beat myself over the head on what I didn't do. But it's also really neat because I was just thinking when we decided to do this show and do a bit of a retrospect and also think of how we as multi-potentialites deal with projects, it dawned on me that it's already been a year, but it's also only been a year. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't feel like, oh, wow, it's been so long ago, but at the same time it does. So it's got this weird kind of double feeling where I feel like we've been doing this for 10 years, yet it only feels like a year at the same time. So it's really a mixed feeling with how long it's been and how far we've come. And I think what I'm the most impressed by is that I want to say the flexibility or the elasticity of our team, where when, you know, Ted's big high season was happening, others of us pulled and tried and made our episodes and try to keep it going. And then when I was out of the picture, you guys kept going. And then there was always somebody in the team willing and ready to just pick up where the last people left off and run an episode and put it together and get it on the air. So I think that's an amazing example of how a bunch of multi-potentialites can actually keep a project going and make it thrive. So that's really something we can all, you know, pat ourselves on the back for.
Yeah, I think it's something not to underestimate that, you know, we were really able to pull it off basically every 2 weeks and stick to that schedule, you know, and with everybody having different lives and priorities and schedules and so on.
And time differences.
And time zones, I was about to say.
Yeah, but and you know, I'm thinking about other podcasts that I know about and listen to. I don't know anyone else that does it like we do, in that they have so many multiple hosts and, of course, different topics and the time zones and the whole thing, and they manage to pull it off. There's probably some out there, but, you know, even if it's still kind of raw sometimes, I think it's something to be proud of that we were able to do that, you know, and we like to call. Remember a year ago when we were planning out this show, and we called ourselves the Democratic Podcast or something like that. Because, you know, it wasn't about any one person. It was really about having a show for the group, and whoever wanted to be involved could do so. And we invited, of course, people that wanted to really take a role in it. And all of us who are here now and a few others who have been on the show, of course, over the course of the year, have really taken that to heart. So it's kind of like there's no ego involved, you know? There's no one trying to like take over. And I mean, you know, I guess I've been kind of the one to drive things, but I'm so grateful that you guys have been able to keep it going when I was busy working, you know, all the time in the summer, for instance. So, you know, it's been an interesting kind of democratic experience as much as anything.
I felt that the group in itself has a lot of, we trust a lot each other's. And it's like, I'm reviewing also kind of my attitude towards Ed. And I know that I think it's been a very busy year for all of us. And whenever I was very busy, I still will check on the Slack to see, like, if I could just pull off like a couple of minutes to give an extra hand if any of you were struggling with editing or were with trying to find a topic or something like that. And I feel very grateful for this opportunity again. And for me, the most interesting part is being able to get to meet so many interesting people and so many interesting and thriving stories that for me has been super, super refreshing and inspiring.
Yeah, for sure. That's one of the great assets of doing this show is that it gives us an excuse to, you know, meet and connect with and on a fairly deep level people in the Potty Tribe and in an audio way, because, you know, the Potty Tribe is basically text based for the most part, aside from the odd huddles and so on. But most of the interaction, right, is on the forum. So to be able to see somebody on your screen and video, to hear their voice and their mannerisms and all that other kind of nonverbal communication, we're fortunate to be able to do that. And we do our best to share that, of course, with our audience so that we all become more than just letters and names on a screen. We really see the real people that make this whole community happen. So that's much as anything. You know, we've toyed a bit with the format, I guess, over the past year. But I think one thing we've been really keen to stick to is to have that chance to meet people in the Potty Tribe and, you know, as I say, give the chance to get to know them better and to hear their voice and so on. And I hope that whatever happens, that we stick with that, at least in some shape or form, and we can keep, bringing people on.
You know, like lately, I haven't been able to be very active on the Potty Tribe, and I feel guilty because like it's been like a very hectic few months. But still having this and being able to participate with it, and to have a small contribution to the Potty Tribe, it kind of makes me feel a little calmer. and I know I'll go back to it, because when everything will settle down more in my life, I'll be able to go back to it and be able to share other things with other Potty Tribe in other ways. But this is for me a great way of being able to contribute and exchange information, knowledge, thoughts.
It's interesting what you just said about when everything settles down. When everything settles down, you'll be looking forward to coming back and being more present. And it makes me think of one of the episodes that we talked about when we covered ebb and flow. And we talked about how sometimes, you know, things just flowed and you felt like everything was just going in the right rhythm and things were aligned. And then other moments, it was like nothing was working and you just had to accept that it wasn't going to work. And so it makes me make the link of what Ted was referring to at the very beginning when you were introducing today's show. Where, when do you accept that maybe, what if you can't come back? Like, what if things don't settle down? What if life takes you another route? And what if life says, you know, well, no, you don't have time for this anymore and you just need to accept it? And I go through that almost every year, end of December, when I'm reflecting on the past years. I go, okay, what do I drop next year? What do I keep? What do I spend more time on? What do, you know, because as you guys know, I like to do a lot of things. And sometimes I have to accept that one or two or three things have to disappear from my life just because I can't do them well, or I can't be there enough, or I can't. And it's more frustrating than it is positive, right? So makes me wonder what your take is on that, and how do you, sometimes it's really difficult to make that decision, right? Sometimes it's so difficult to drop something. Like last year, I had to drop one of the volunteering activities that I do for my son's school. I was doing 2-3 things and I had to drop one of them. So it was really hard for me to make that call. But I'm also really happy now, after almost 10 months that I've dropped this, to go, phew, now I'm so happy I did, because I just wasn't doing the type of quality work that I wanted to do. And so it was making me feel more frustrated to be partly there than to not be there at all. So how do you guys do that?
Well, let me follow up, because I was thinking of the exact same thing, basically. And I was going to ask you guys a question. How would you feel if this show ceased to exist, if it was no longer part of your life?
Oh, no.
But that's a question, right?
Well, that's the thing. That's the tough part, right? How do you let go of something that you enjoy?
Yep.
But that sometimes you know that your schedule or your current life just doesn't allow for it. It's tough. It's a really difficult one.
Yeah. Well, Sarah, do you want to go ahead or?
It's just, I'm thinking because like it happened to me like already at the end of the summer, I had to let go my personal project for a little while. And focus on, well, now I don't think the listeners know, but I've become a flight attendant and now I started to fly. And for a while, like I had to completely drop everything out of my life, like everything, because it was a very intense course and it was short time. So like everything, we didn't even have like a free day. So it was very interesting because it happened to me that when I finished, I lost the sense of who I was. And it took me a couple of weeks to reconnect with the person I was before and the things I did before and to try to start taking them back. And for example, the multipod was one of those things that I had to drop for a moment. And then coming back, it's helping me to remember the person I was before becoming a flight attendant. But I know that for me, I guess the what I want to say with this is the most important part is that whatever you drop, don't break the sense of your identity.
Yeah, well, we are not what we do, right? I think what you're trying to say is that we're not what we do. And so although we have a title that may be flight attendant or anything else, or teacher, or you know, you work for in tourism, Ted, or whatever your title is at work, doesn't define who you are as a person. And therefore, your identity doesn't disappear with an activity that you drop, whether it's momentarily or even for a while.
But it does. But I think it can help you in certain times to add to that identity. For example, like for me, getting to know all these great people with the interviews and about their lives, it gives me a lot of insights and it helps me to know the person I want to become or the person I want to be. So I know if for example the multipod has to stop in my life, I will have to find other ways to keep adding to my identity and to my personal growth the way that I want it to be. I don't know, how is it for you?
Well, it's a creative outlet as much as anything, I guess, for all of us, right? In its own way, in this kind of audio medium, but. I certainly see it as a creative thing, is that we basically do each episode, you know, you're starting from scratch and you got to figure out obviously how to kind of structure the episode and plan it out and the kind of questions you want to ask and all that's basically just kind of pulling it out of thin air, doing a bit of research and brainstorming, creating something out of nothing. And as I find that to be the biggest challenge and certainly the biggest reward as well, especially when you pull off a good episode that you're really happy with. So if that was gone, I would miss it and I would certainly look for another way to do it. So, I mean, I suppose if this show ceased to exist, then I would probably look for something similar to, you know, to replace it, perhaps a different kind of podcast or something like that. But yeah, I mean, you know, as I say, it's after that benchmark of a year, it gives you that perspective of something being part of your life, you know, for a decent amount of time, and you get used to that routine, the whole bi-weekly thing, and again, whether it was me doing an episode or one of you or someone else, like just knowing that it's happening and you kind of get used to that routine. Sometimes I feel like a little tied down as a result of it. Like, here we go. We got to do another episode. It's already been 2 weeks. I thought we just finished one and now we got to do another one kind of thing, you know? And I hate that feeling. I hate that I have that feeling, but it's part of the commitment, right? It's part of the experience of creating something, because I think it really comes back to that whole experience of creating something out of scratch, and that can be both exciting and intimidating. If it was just some kind of administrative task, and the editing is a good example, I suppose, because when I'm editing an episode, and we take turns of that too, but whenever I've edited an episode, there's a bit of creativity involved to it actually, but most of it is just, you know, cutting this and smoothing things out and putting it all together. It's not so much of a creative experience where you really have to like use your brain and kind of, you know, think outside the box. But at least for me, I mean, I like being able to have a microphone and a platform and to speak, but I'm not someone who, well, I'm not extroverted. I'm not someone who goes out of my way looking for attention kind of thing. I wouldn't consider myself, I guess, your kind of proverbial natural radio host or something like that, you know, who just can riff and chat about anything. I hate chit chat. I never chit chat with people. It's like I have something to say and I say it. Otherwise, I sit quietly and just observe and listen. That's me. That's in my life, right? So to be behind the microphone, I have to speak and I want to speak in that moment. It's like being on stage, like Sandrine and I talk about being musicians, right? And when you get on stage, now you're behind the mic. And I don't know about you, but I don't feel like stage fright so much or feel awkward. I feel like now this is my chance. I'm here. Everybody's watching. I don't have to like push my way through a crowd of noisy, loud people who want to talk all the time to make myself heard. I get to be center stage now and I don't have to fight that battle. I can just enjoy the fact that I can now say what I want to say. It's the same with the podcast because, you know, we have the mic and we have the chance to say something. So, you know, again, it's now, what are you going to say, right? That's the question. What are you going to say? You just kind of riff and talk about something, or do you really plan it out and do the research? That's, I think, the challenge for this show to make it even better is to do as much, to do more planning, and preparation, but it always comes back to that creativity angle. So, yeah, I would miss that if it wasn't a part of my life, and it's become a big part of my life too over the past year, that chance to be creative every couple of weeks.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one of the things that I admire you for, Ted, is your capacity to keep that routine going on a bi-weekly basis, because I'm like the opposite of routine. And so every time I see the messages go by that we're already planning the next one, I'm like, what? Already 2 weeks went by and we're already planning the next one? That's crazy. And it always feels like the week that went by feels like it was 2 days. It doesn't feel like it was a whole week. So congratulations on keeping the clock perfectly timed for us, because that's really been helpful. Even when you were away in the summer, you're like, okay, the next one is that date and the next one after that is that date. And I work with dates a lot, so every time I would see the date, I was like, okay, now I know when I need to do this.
Well, that's just it, you know. And I mean, we remember we did, what was it, episode 8 with Vanessa, who coincidentally was talking about podcasting, right? When we broke through that barrier, as they say, of like, you, most podcasts only last an average of 7 episodes. So we celebrated our 8th episode and we talked about podcasting itself. And so, you know, as much as anything, it was the goal for me this past year was, sure, was to explore some interesting topics, to learn some new skills, experience, obviously meet people from the Putty tribe, but to prove that we could do this every 2 weeks. And we did. We really did. And that's a testament to everybody, especially, well, including Vanessa, who really jumped in about halfway through the year and started producing some episodes and hosting a few and helping with some editing. And I'm glad you can join us today.
Thanks. I also jumped in about halfway through the chat.
Well, oh, my goodness. Perfect timing, Vanessa.
I thought it was 1 p.m. Pacific. I don't know what I was thinking. So anyway, hi.
Welcome.
Thanks. So that's the thing. We were talking about time zones earlier. So this is a perfect example of 4 people. Only 2 of us are on the same time zone and the other 2 are in totally different time zones. So that's always a bit of a challenge, but we did it today again.
Perfect. I'm still in my PJs.
That's awesome.
And getting cozy with a blanket. Okay. Yeah, I guess I did jump in rather late, but it's been really, really awesome being part of this. And it's so nice to have a big team, because when you have an idea for something, you can take it and run with it. And then when you're like, I really have a lot of life stuff going on right now and don't have a ton of time, there are always other people to pick up and work on it. So that's been really awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's right. So Vanessa, you came on the show. We were talking about our podcasting episode about a third of the way into the year. And of course, you're the only one of all of us who's like done any podcasting at all. And of course, you've done it for quite a while, like a couple of years or so, right? So, you know, you had lots of experience and insight to bring to our show. And we really benefited from that just in terms of, you know, doing a bit more of the planning and some of the structure to the episodes. So that was a big help as well. And the editing too.
Thanks. I'm glad. But I thought Joel had been podcasting for quite a while, or at least for a while.
Yeah, well, it's true. And Joel's kind of the one, he's not here with us today. And that's another interesting, I think, perspective on all this, because Joel is absolutely crucial to getting us set up. I would assume he's going to be listening to this eventually. But he kind of got us set up and with the hosting and a bit of practice, and he had his whole worksheet and all the stuff to produce a podcast, right? And then the very first episode, number one, was an interview with me with him talking about podcasting and so on. And then he left us to our own devices. And I've mentioned it. I've asked him a couple of times, you know, just with various topics, if he wanted to come on the show and add his two bits. But I'm guessing he never really said it straight up, but I think his whole idea was that, you know, it was our show and maybe he didn't want to, you know, be seen as like stepping over our toes or something. Like, he wanted to leave it to us, right? So he's always there. Now, that being said, he's there in the background. If we have questions about tech stuff or whatever else, like, for sure, he's there. But he's very much hands off when it comes to this show.
But he does keep us in the loop on how well we're doing in terms of downloads. And I do want to remind all of us and all of our listeners that on November 6th, we hit 4,000 downloads. So that's pretty amazing for a show that's just done all, you know, completely diplomatically and democratically and worldwide by, you know, volunteers, people who just want to put a show together. So I think that's a heck of a great accomplishment.
Vanessa, I'm curious. So at the beginning, we all talked what kind of this experience with this podcast we had with it. And I'm curious that you were already podcasting, what this podcast has given to you.
I think something that this podcast has given me is, well, I guess I should back up a little bit. My podcast experience is, it started with a podcast about the X-Files, the TV show, which I'm still doing, and I've been doing for like 3+ years, which is crazy. And so we're talking a lot about a TV show. We're talking about what we watch, and then we sort of like critique it, or we make fun of it, or whatever. This podcast, this multipod, has given me a chance to kind of like explore talking about myself in like a public manner, which is something that is, I think, really valuable, because I'm starting, or I have started, a business helping business owners start podcasts, basically, to use them for marketing. And it's really good to have like practice to talk about yourself or put yourself out there more in the public eye. So that's been really valuable. So I can talk about like the fact that I have all these multiple interests and how I'm dealing with them and how I'm balancing them and working with them. And then, yeah, just kind of explore that in a more public way, which is cool. And just, you know, instead of talking about Dana Scully and Fox Mulder all the time, you know? Yeah.
So you probably see a lot of differences between this podcast and the one that you do.
Yeah, I mean, it's just we don't get to explore a lot of different topics and themes in that podcast. We do try to change it up and make it fun and do different like segments and that kind of thing. But the great thing about being a multipotentialite is there are so many things that you could talk about on a podcast because you have so many interests. So that's really cool.
All right, so we'll pose the question to you as well. We were each talking a bit about this, but, you know, think a bit about the future. How would you feel, Vanessa, if this show ceased to exist?
Aw.
Not that it would, but just in theory, right?
Yeah, no, I kind of wish that I had heard other people's
comments as well, because they probably would have been like, oh yeah, that's true. But, you know, like agreeing with people. But I think that would be unfortunate. I think that not all podcasts last forever. So that is definitely something that could happen in the future. But I think it would create a little bit of a hole in the podcast universe, because I think that this show is just pretty unique, and not just in the like themes and the topics that we talk about, but also the way that it's produced. So the fact that we have people like, what, three of us in Canada, one of us in Europe, a couple people in the US, one person who maybe travels around a little bit. That's really unique. Like, you often will have two podcast co-hosts who live in different places. That's pretty common. But having a whole team of people that also like produce and host and work together that are like, it's all virtual, I don't think that's very common. So that's really unique and cool. And then also the topics, like a multi-potentialite podcast, I don't know of any other ones. And so it's very unique.
You know, I'm curious, because right now for me, this is, has become something so natural that, like, being a multi-potentialite, it's for me, like, so normal. And I wonder, like, what people think when they first encounter our podcast. And I don't know, what would they take about it that we cannot see because we are inside of it.
I do wish that we had a way to get more feedback from people, not just in the Putty tribe, but also outside of the community, hear what other people think about it. I know that my friend Mark, who was on an episode with us, Mark is not part of the Putty tribe, but I thought it would be great to talk to Mark about education, because he has such a sort of alternative view on education. And I know he was like, that was so much fun. That was like, you know, just a great experience. I've never done anything like that before. And so that was really cool. But that's about as much as the feedback that I've gotten outside of the Putty tribe.
Well, you know, that comes down, I think, to the next question we should talk about. We've been dancing around this, but what should we do, if anything, for promotion for this show? We could leave it as it is now. We do not promote this show at all, aside from talking to friends and family, let's say, but very randomly. There is a, what we call a landing page on the Putty Tribe site, theputtytribe.com/themultipod, where you can find the episodes and our pictures and you can stream it. We don't promote that. I've rarely mentioned it in the show, etc. And so it's really only even known by anybody who's a member of the Putty Tribe. And even then, I mean, you know, we kind of post the link every couple of weeks with a new episode, but I wonder how many people even notice. There's always so much discussion. It gets buried pretty quickly. So we do pretty well, I suppose, the number of downloads we were talking about, right? Given that we really don't promote it at all. Now, the question is, are we fine with that? Do we, you know, not maybe not want too big an audience? Let's say we're happy with what it is, and so you don't have to worry about maybe pressure or things getting too big. Or do we want to try to take this thing to somewhat to the next level? I mean, try to tap into other podcast networks, maybe guest on other shows, bring other shows onto ours, and go beyond the Putty Tribe. And we were going to talk about this amongst our team anyway over the next coming weeks, but we can start to think about it now, if you guys want to. Like, where should we go from here?
Well, I've actually already spoken to people outside that are not friends and family. Just, you know, whenever I even say the term like polymath or multipotentialite, they're like, what? What's that? And then of course, I talk about, you know, the forum, I talk about the Putty Tribe, but I also talk about the podcast, because I always tell people, if you want to learn more about who we are and what we do, one of the best ways to do so would be to, apart from going to see the TED Talk from Emily, would be to go listen to a few of our episodes, and then you'll get a good idea. So, but yeah, we could also market it all out and, you know, share each episode on our Facebook pages and anything else that we're on social media. It's funny, because whenever I listen to one of our episodes, or if I'm on one of our episodes, because it's such a virtual thing, right? So you know that you record it and then you put it online and then people will download it. It almost kind of, it's not as, how do you say, not as tangible or concrete that there's this many people listening to it, or, you know, whether it's hundreds or tens or thousands. You're thinking, I don't know who's going to listen to it, and if hopefully, and if they find interest in it, they'll keep listening. And so it doesn't have to be a multipod in a way, right? It just has to be somebody who's interested in the topic.
What I like a lot about it is that it's very, and everything happens very organic. And I don't feel the pressure of like talking for a great audience. I think about the audience when I think about the topics and the things that I want to say and communicate, but I don't feel the pressure of speaking in front of the audience. I don't know if that makes sense, but the way everything happens, because everything is very organic and kind of like the way we help each other, I don't know. It's serious, but it's something fun.
I think there's definitely something to be said for hobby podcasts, so to speak, because I think you can get really bogged down by the idea of we need more downloads, we need to get more exposure, we need to get ourselves out there more. And it's like, yes, if your goal is to like advertise or make money off of your podcast or do something that has that sort of like more tangible result. But what I love about podcasting, like, yes, I have a business in helping people use it to market themselves and market their businesses. But what I really love about podcasting is that it's so accessible. It's often free. And it's like, once you know how to do it, it's pretty easy to do. You can do it from your home. You can do it pretty much anywhere you have internet. You don't even need internet. You need internet to upload the episodes. That's about it. And so why get so bogged down by those things? Why not just do it for the love of podcasting and for the, supporting, like Sandrine was saying, it's a democratic thing, and it often is, you know, in the world of podcasting, it's kind of democratic. And why not just enjoy that, you know? So that's actually another reason that I love doing this podcast, because I'm not worrying so much about all the other stuff.
Yeah, totally agree.
Well, then does it matter? I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I feel the same way most of the time. Sometimes I'm like, well, you know, you put in all this work, especially if you have an episode that's really tough to edit, let's say, and it seems to be taking hours. And I mean, you know, is it okay? Is it still worth doing it if there's only maybe a few dozen people listening, you know? And I mean, especially if that kind of compounds over time, like, you know, if the weeks and the months go by, and I mean, are we doing this to basically talk to each other, or are we doing this to, that's the thing though, that, you know, assuming that people are listening and there's some kind of engagement and people, you know, have something to take away from it. And I mean, you can get bogged down in numbers for sure, but it's kind of finding that balance. And I agree with Sarah. It's like, it's an organic thing. My gut feeling is that if we wanted to take this somewhat to the next level, it would be kind of a gradual, slow process. We just slowly start promoting it more and, you know, maybe occasionally find a guest host or a guest from another podcast and, like, you know, how you tap into their network kind of thing. So we wouldn't go all out doing that, and we wouldn't start producing like 3 episodes a week, but we would just maybe gradually start expanding. That's my gut feeling, I think, if we really wanted to keep promoting it more.
That does make sense.
And I think that, at least for me, what makes me want sometimes to promote it more is more to get more people aware that being a multi-potentialite is okay. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. And that there's a whole community out there so that they don't feel as lonely as we all felt before we discovered it. So like my purpose is really that, is more of saying the reason why I want to get it out there is, you know, so what if we end up getting 5,000, 8,000, 10,000 downloads over even 2 more years? I don't really care. What I care about is to know that, hey, you know, if it's helped 15, 20, 100 other people, 200 other people, or thousands of other people realize, oh my God, I'm a multi-potentialite, and that's actually a good thing, and I can and stop being so freaked out about the fact that I've got 8 million interests, and that there's other people who think and live like me, then yay, you know, like thumbs up. Way to go. So that's my,
and something that I like to tell my clients is when they are like, I got 100 downloads, I'm like, that's amazing, you should celebrate that, because it might seem small, but if you imagine 100 people in a room, that's a lot of people that you're getting your message out to. So yeah, it could be 20, it could be 8,000, like, it's still people that you're reaching. So
absolutely. And they're taking the time to download it and listen to it. And maybe they might not listen all the way through, but they're still taking the time, which means that you've triggered something within them and you're helping them in some way. So for me, that's the biggest reward.
An hour episode. So, I mean, an hour in a multi-potential like person is a lot of time.
Yeah, it's true.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of which, I think we'll need to wrap up in a few minutes. How about I pose a question? If there's anything that you would like to change or maybe improve over the next year?
Make my tip of the week more of a tip of the week and not a tip of a 6 month. No, I would like to be more present, but I realize I have to be realistic. And also, a lot of times, if I haven't come on, it wasn't just because of timing. It was also because I wasn't getting inspired by what kind of tip or what I could add. And I thought the episode was already just great as it stood. So it was like, well, you know, I'm not going to bring something just to bring something, right? But I think my thing would be to maybe more consistency on my end.
I agree with that for me, too. I kind of, in a way, just jumped into this podcast, or I was going to say was thrown into it, but that's not really true. But I came in when people were already kind of had a system and had stuff going, and that's great. And I really love being involved in it, and I want to be more present as well, because sometimes I'm like, I'll go weeks and weeks just being like super busy because I'm in school right now and I'm working and I'm doing all this stuff, planning a wedding. And so I'm like, you know, I'd like to figure out a way to honor that part of me, the part that's busy, the part that has all these things going on, but also be more present in this team, because yes, it's a volunteer thing and we do it because we love it, but I'm involved. So I want to be involved, you know, so want to reach out more to like help with editing and that kind of thing. Even if I can't host something, you know.
Well, for me, I was thinking about the times where I had the most fun with the podcast, and it was when I was when we were interviewing people and getting to know about their lives and their specificities. And I guess my intention for next year is to try to do more of those interviews to get the lives of the multi-potentialites out there. And like, because right now we have the model of Emily, but I believe there are many great models in our group, and I think that could be also a very, very strong and meaningful thing for this podcast to have.
Yeah, that's true. What about you, Ted?
My objective is to continue working on our content, and in the scope of our ambitions for this show, which I think we're pretty clear on, you know, it's trying to find that balance between something that's a hobby and something that you're tempted to really be ambitious about, right? But trying to find a balance somewhere in between, which is a good example as well as like any kind of multi-potentialite project, and that we try something, we start something, and you want to really put your heart into it. But at the same time, you're not going to put like 60 hours a week into it. So it's finding that balance. So within that context, I want to produce the best content that we can. I feel like the next step would be to prepare the episodes with a little more planning. We often do this at the last minute kind of thing, which is fine. That's the nature of it. But I would like to put in a little bit more time in terms of learning more about multipotentiality, going through Emily Wapnick's website, for instance, and her blog, because she's, of course, done most of the research and exploring of this topic. So we can start with that and then bring that to our episodes and really give people as much reason as possible to listen, even if it's only a few dozen people or whatever. But we know that we are producing the best. I want us to know that we're producing the best content that we can, again, under the context, the circumstances of our busy lives, and give people, feel proud that we're giving people something that really makes it worthwhile that they're giving us, you know, 45 to 60 minutes of their time. So that's my objective, is to try to do as much planning and research as possible and really, really create the best content that we can.
Go team.
Yay.
And I would I would like to take a minute to also encourage our community to give us a call or to write us if they want to participate, they want to say something, they want to put something out there. And I would really like to encourage them to join them, or even if it's just for once or twice or for the whole time.
Yeah, and I mean, reaching out also if they want to hear about a topic, if they want to hear about something that they've never heard about that they'd like us to you know, delve into, explore, and talk about. Because I think it's if they're the ones that are who are listening to us and they're the ones who are downloading our episodes, then any suggestion of any topic will be so welcome.
Yeah, that remains the objective of this show, I think, to get people involved and give people the opportunity. It's like it's your practice podcast, right? We've got nothing to lose. We're not doing this for the money. We don't have sponsors or advertisers, whatever, dependent on us. We really can experiment and try different things. And that includes, if anyone's curious about podcasting, and in any shape or form, whether it's being behind the mic, co-hosting, doing a little solo segment, obviously editing, or anything else, some of the research and planning, there's lots that goes into it, and it's a chance for people to get involved. And that's kind of the one message I would say we've had from day one, is that it's open to anybody to get involved. And that's how we have had more people get involved, you know, from Sarah to Vanessa and Clay and on from there. So, yeah, I hope we'll hear some more. And Jillian, too. Jillian's been a bit more involved the last couple episodes. It was nice. So that's just the whole point, is that you'll hear different voices and you'll get different input. And it's a chance to do so.
You know, like, there's a thought that I would like to share, is that this is what you said about we don't have any pressure, we don't have sponsors, we don't have anything, we're just doing this voluntarily, we can explore, we can experiment. I want to point out that is a luxury, because nowadays it's really hard to have this. And for example, myself, I am an artist, I did just study fine arts, and then this at the end of the summers I had to find this job. And I was able to be a flight attendant that is giving me the time and the freedom to explore and my creativity and to be free to create whatever I want to create, not being dependent on the market or whatever is required from me in order to sell my work or to promote my work. And I just want to point out that what we have, it's something, it's a gift, it's a present, it's something that has a lot of value.
You're right, because I think, especially creative multi-potentialites, we are like, how can I don't want to sound like greedy, but how can I make money doing what I put so much time into? And it's nice to have hobbies where you don't have to super focus on that. I've been reading Emily's book, How to Be Everything, And that's one thing that she says. She's like, you know, you have to have a balance between what's making you money, what's making you, like, what you want to do that makes you happy, and that balance can be really hard to find, but it's awesome when you have it. And you're right. Like, this podcast gives you that opportunity to just have a hobby that's fun and interesting and stimulating. And yeah.
Well, on that note, we all owe a big thank you to Emily Wapnick, who is paying for this podcast, because
for sure.
it is hosted on Libsyn, which isn't free. It's not terribly expensive, but that the payment for that does come out of the Putty Tribe. So between Emily and Joel organizing and basically paying for that, it allows us to do that, to do this podcast, aside from our own memberships, basically for free. So it's, again, as Sarah said, this is, we certainly have to remember to appreciate the opportunity that we have. And I think we do. Good. So we'll do lots more in the new year, safe to say, more interesting topics, maybe shuffle around a bit with some of the format and so on. And keep pushing ourselves to put out this show.
And maybe we can also remember that this is a first anniversary, first birthday, and just like any child at year one, they're just learning to walk. And so give ourselves time to start running and then to start climbing. Yeah. So happy birthday, everybody.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. That's true.
And happy new year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a happy coincidence, the first Putty P profile of the week is one of the oldest friends of the podcast, Doug Walker, who was the first guest on the show after Joel. I interviewed him on episode 2 of the Multipod, which was way back on January 19th of 2018, where we talked about how to get her done fortnightly or otherwise. Doug is well known within the Putty Tribe as the host and coordinator of the bi-weekly fortnightly meetup, which is kind of an accountability type hangout. People get together and they talk about some of the projects and things they've been doing, and they keep it at a steady pace every couple of weeks, which is of course why he calls it the fortnightly. And that's why he was named the Putty Peep of the Week, the first one for this session. I think he's been on it before, but it's nice to see him back there again, because Doug continues to be very active, of course, and busy with the Putty Tribe. He lives still in Indianapolis, places he's lived in the past. He's also lived in Cincinnati, Ohio. And it's interesting, he put Stratford, Ontario, if you remember back to that episode when he was on our show. We were chatting about that a little bit, about travel. And he's talking about how every summer he goes up to Stratford, which is a small, small town just west of Toronto in Ontario, where there's a famous Shakespeare and basically theater festival. So he kind of goes and sets himself up there for a week or so every summer. And that's nice. He's put it on his profile. Now, Doug's been busy this past year. And again, coming back to this whole topic of accountability, he has worked on his main website, which is maybe even a burgeoning business, but it's called Roominess, Roominess TV. And you can find his website, and it's really, really neat. You can go to roominesstv.com, so R-O-O-M-I-N-E-S-S-T-V, all one word, .com, and you can see some of the stuff he's doing. It's kind of a video log. They're very well done. They're quality videos and production value with music and different cameras and so on. He talks about interior design and arrangement, things like shelf arranging, using functional space, vertical decor. If you want to get a good sense of the type of content he's producing, go to the video. It says Top 10 Ways to Improve Your Room. And Doug shows you a little bit around his condo there in Indianapolis. You get a sense of some of the things he's interested in. So that's something he's launched or certainly really expanded over the past year, and it's doing really well. Now, Doug says he is more of a simultaneous rather than sequential multipod, in that he tends to have two or three things going on at once and enjoys taking a break from one by engaging in another. And I can resonate with that. It's largely the way I tend to approach things too. I don't like to have a whole bunch of things in the air at the same time, but have a couple, two or three big projects, and you can do a couple at a time, but inevitably I get tired of one, and so I'll put that to the side, and then I know that I have something else going as well, and I kind of bounce back and forth. And I think I remember us talking about that too back when he was on the show. We found that it was a good way to kind of balance all of our interests in various projects. So that's what Doug is up to, and as I say, it's great timing that here in our anniversary episode, one of our favorite guests happens to be the first Putty Peep of the Week. Our second profile is Iris Baldwin. She is another new member who's joined just in November of 2018. Iris is currently into learning piano, working on three new languages, the artist way, and being super encouraging. Iris lives in Denton, Texas, which is just north of Dallas, Fort Worth. In places she's lived, she's put this in chronological order on her profile. She lived in Guayaquil, Ecuador, Dallas, of course, Ponce in Puerto Rico, Cuernavaca, Mexico, Sherman, Texas, and then down to Adelaide in South Australia, London, UK, back over to Auckland, New Zealand, back to Fort Worth, Texas, and now she's back in Denton. So she's hopped around quite a bit, a couple places there that I've been as well. She does have a website. It's called dramatistdaydreams.com, all one word. And Iris is a wordsmith, a classical vocalist, and a multimedia artist. She says her website will tell you she's a playwright, but she's also a novelist and a poet, along with writing stage plays, and she studied classical voice, primarily opera, for 2 decades. So she's a real multidisciplinary artist, and she says 5 of her one-act plays have been produced, 2 more of her plays have been presented to audiences as stage readings, And she also creates mandala art by coloring mandala designs with gel pens and their colored pencils. And she creates needlepoint and crewel embroidery crafts. So lots of different projects, different mediums to express her creativity. So that's Iris Baldwin, who is our second Putty Pete Profile of the Week. Well, that caps off a year of episodes here in our first year at The Multipod. 27 episodes we managed to produce over the past 12 months. And it was an amazing experience for all of us to make this part of our lives and start to become podcasters, which was something that all of us were interested in doing and was on our list of things to try and to pursue. And thanks to Emily Wapnick and thanks to Joel and thanks to the Putty Tribe, we've had this chance to do it. So it's been a real reflection here in the past hour or so as we've talked about some of the things we've learned and the experiences we've had and start to turn our mind, of course, towards the next year and the year to come. And I think it's pretty safe to say that we will keep this thing going. If anything, we could say, well, hey, we've really just gotten started. There's so many more things that we can try, obviously topics to talk about and ways we can keep improving the show and maybe take the next step. I mean, it's up to us to figure out where we're going to go with it. But ultimately, I think it's really just nice to know that we have this show. We have the opportunity to try it out, to practice our podcasting, and of course to talk with lots of people in the Putty Tribe and explore all these interesting topics, and all within that lens of multi-potentiality, which is something that I think more and more people take an interest in once they start to hear about it and learn about it and reflect on themselves, you know, that maybe they're actually multi-potentialites too. So it gives us a bit of an opportunity to reach out to a broader audience over time, if that's something that we really want to pursue. I think where we've left it at the moment is that, you know, we'll just keep taking it in kind of an organic, natural way. When we have great episodes that we really want to share and put out there, then we'll do our best to do so. But in the meantime, we'll just kind of keep going at a slow and steady pace and keep having fun. It's been a real big component now to all of our lives here for the past 12 months. So I'll wrap up just by going over the ways that you can follow the show and to get in touch. We do have our own email address for The Multipod. It's themultipodcast@gmail.com, themultipodcast@gmail.com, all one word. You could write to us there with any kind of ideas, suggestions for topics, if you'd like to come on the show, or of course, if you'd like to get involved. And then we do have basically a website, a landing page, we call it, where you can find all of our past episodes. If you don't have a podcast app on your phone or you don't feel like subscribing, you don't have to. You can bookmark this page and you can listen to it online through your computer, streaming it online by going to theputtytribe.com/themultipod, all one word, theputtytribe.com/themultipod.com. And that's where you can see all those past episodes lined up there. You can just press play and there they are. And that's a page that's open to the public. You don't have to be a member of the Putty Tribe behind a paywall or anything. Anyone can access that website, that page. That's really where we have our kind of portal to the world. You can see our pictures there and our profiles and learn a bit more about the show. And of course, for all of you who are members of the Putty Tribe, you can certainly write to any one of us, myself, Sandrine, Sarah, Vanessa, Mike, and send us your ideas directly. Start a conversation. We can always chat there. We've talked a bit about how we organize this show. We have a dedicated conversation group on Slack, the app, which allows us to really organize each episode and start a new topic and conversation. And if you'd like to get involved in the show, you can launch that app and join us there. We can give you the links and how all that works, but that's where we really coordinate the show itself. And last of all, we'll put out our usual call, as we always do, that you can get involved yourself in all number of ways. You can help us plan episodes, you can send us ideas, you can do a bit of research for us and send us some links and things that we can talk about. You can host a little segment, you can co-host an episode, you can host a number of episodes and really get involved if you want. The door is always open. You can help us with editing. You could help us with marketing and promotion if you'd like, if you have some networks or just anybody, if you're interested in spreading the word of the show. And so lots of different ways. And of course, it's been a great because we have picked up some more people over the course of the year, Jillian there being the most recent. So that's the nature of our show. It's open to everyone. And we really hope that you consider getting involved if you're at all interested in podcasting, I can really tell you this is the chance to do it, to have the opportunity to get in there and to practice, to learn any one of these skills. And aside from our Putty Tribe membership, it's free. This is your way to do it. So if you're at all curious about trying this out, this is your chance, and please don't hesitate to get involved. So thanks as always for being a listener and a loyal listener over the past 12 months. If you've gone back from day one, we'll be back here again in a couple of weeks with our next topic. Mm-hmm.